This is The Gathering Church in Windsor, Ontario, and I'm Pastor Garth Leno. Welcome to our podcast.
Hymns, classic hymns of the last couple of weeks, and the theology behind them. And some of the words of these hymns, they're born out of dramatic or even traumatic experiences that people have, that the authors have, or their family members have. And yet there's other songs that come kind of out of more of the ordinary life, you could say. And this is the case for the hymn that we're looking at this morning, Great is Thy Faithfulness. It's well known, it's well loved. You could say that this is an everyday song for everyday people going through everyday things, facing everyday doubts, everyday struggles. The song was penned initially by a poem by a man named Thomas Chisholm. Chisholm was born in Kentucky in 1866, and he became a school teacher at the age of 16. Years later, he actually entered the ministry full-time. He was ordained as a pastor. Unfortunately, he had to leave the ministry because of poor health. He wasn't able to continue. So he moved to New Jersey. He took a job as an insurance agent. I guess that's less strenuous. Chisholm was a prolific writer of poetry, and in 1923, he sent a whole bunch of his poems to a good friend of his, William Runyon, who was a musician at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, who also just happened to work for a hymnal publishing company. Runyon was immediately drawn to one poem in particular, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And he quickly wrote music to accompany it, and it was published later that very same year. The hymn became an instant favorite at the school. And years later, a man named Billy Graham came along and fell in love with the song as well. And he used this song as part of his great evangelistic crusades, and thus it gained its popularity around the world. Thomas Chisholm used the words from Lamentations chapter 3 as the foundation or the inspiration for his poem. So if you have your Bible, I invite you to turn to the book of Lamentations. We're going to be at chapter 3, verse 19 to 26. Lamentations comes right after Jeremiah, before Ezekiel. It was written by Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet that basically nobody listened to. He gave multiple warnings to the nation of Israel about their repeated sinfulness, about their disobedience, about their disregard for God. And as a result of their repeated rebellion, God allowed them to be invaded, allowed them to be defeated, allowed them to be taken into exile by the Babylonians. And Jeremiah witnessed this. And even though he prophesied that this would happen, he was filled with tremendous grief and sorrow when it did happen. When Jerusalem was destroyed and his people were carried away, he lamented the situation, which is why the book is called Lamentations. There's sorrow involved. And yet, in spite of all this tragedy, in spite of the horrible circumstances that he saw and that he was in, Jeremiah had hope. And what gave him that hope? It was the character and promises of God, his great faithfulness. And so as we study Lamentations chapter 3 this morning and the words of this beloved song, the hope is that as we will understand that when we focus on the faithfulness of God, that our contentment in our lives will deepen and our trust in God will get greater and greater. So I invite you to turn there, and we're going to start at verse 19. He says, "Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me." This is part of the lament, how horrible he's feeling at what's happening. But he says, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." So this passage depicts multiple aspects of the faithfulness of God, and we're going to look at three. The first is that God is faithful to pour out love and mercy. God is faithful to pour out love and mercy. Look at 22 and 23 again. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." When it says steadfast love in the Bible, It's the Hebrew word chesed, which means it's more than just what we say kind of for love, English word. It's loving kindness. It's a covenantal kind of love. It's a promise-keeping kind of love. It's enduring. It's unending. It's a God kind of love. It's who He is, and He is loving. He keeps His promises, and so because He is loving, He continues to pour out love on His people. Jeremiah trusted in God's chesed, the promises of God. Even though discipline and even exile were part of this initial covenant that God made with Israel, that there was warnings that this would happen, God also promised that He would never fully destroy them. The covenant included promise of restoration, and so Jeremiah was counting on God's character, counting on His proven track record that He would come through, and so he had hope. One writer has said, "The hope that Jeremiah expressed here is not created by denying or minimizing suffering and misery. Rather, suffering and misery are transformed when the mind is turned towards God." And that's what we must do. We don't minimize the suffering. We don't deny the circumstances that we're in. We don't pretend like it doesn't hurt. We don't forget to grieve them. We may even lament them like Jeremiah did. But then we've got to look and turn our minds towards God, towards Him, His unchanging character. The song says, "Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be." You see, our circumstances will change, and our feelings about those circumstances will change, but God will never change. He is faithful, He is sure, He is steady, He is unchanging, always good, always merciful, always kind. Malachi 3:6, God says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." There, pretty clear. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Faithful, sure, steady, reliable, constant. And because He'll never change, He'll never stop pouring out love and mercy. As we sang right at the start of the service, His love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Never ceases. The hymn goes on to say, "Morning by morning, new mercies I see." Every single morning that you wake up is a testament to God's mercy in your life. Maybe we don't think about this, but did you know that God was the one who kept you alive while you slept? He's the one that sustained your brain, your heart, your lungs. You didn't do that. You were asleep. Some of you maybe were asleep. Some of you looked like you weren't that asleep last night. But every morning, however you wake up, if it's an alarm that you hit 20 times or it's the coffee pot that wakes you up, whatever it is, however you wake up, our first thought, it's not always my first thought, I'll confess, but our first thought ought to be, "Wow, I'm alive. Thank you, God, for your mercy." That's what it should be. Each morning is this renewed invitation from God to experience God, more of His goodness, and to learn His ways and then to follow those ways. But each morning is also an opportunity for those who have yet to trust in Jesus to have an opportunity to do so. Sometimes we get in a situation where we're just like, "I just want Jesus to come back and I just want this world to end because it's so horrible and it's so dark and so bad. Why is it taking so long for Jesus to come back?" He's being merciful. He's giving people a chance to repent, to come to know Him. He's patient. Today, the sun came up, so there's an opportunity. There's still time for that family member, that friend, that neighbor, that coworker, that teammate, whoever it is that doesn't know Jesus yet, to come to know Jesus, to turn from their sins, to put their trust in Jesus Christ and have eternal life. There's still time. That's a new way to look at a sunrise. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. The love of God never ceases. You know, other people's love, that might cease. But some people might say, "I can testify to that." Other people's patience may run out. Their mercy maybe is not new every single morning. And it stops. They stop showing mercy. They stop showing up, but God won't. God won't. Lean on him. He's reliable. He's faithful. Faithful to pour out love and mercy, but he's also faithful to provide for his people. Verse 24 and 25. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. So the second part of the chorus of the song says, all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And you've likely heard many times in your life that there is a big difference between what you want and what you need. We need to eat to stay alive, but we don't need to eat steak every day to stay alive, even if we want to. Right? We get this. God doesn't provide for us every single thing that we want, when we want it, and how we want it. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. That's what the song says. That's what the testimony of Scripture declares, which was a fitting line for Thomas Chisholm to write. Because his life, he was really never that wealthy or even that healthy. In 1941, he recalled the hymn. He said, my income has not been large at any time, due to the impaired health in the earlier years, which has followed me even until now. Health struggles all the way. Although, I must not fail to record here the unfailing faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God, that he has given me many wonderful displays of his providing care, for which I am filled with astonishing gratefulness. Many opportunities. Gratefulness. It's so important for us to take time to practice being grateful, to adjust our perspective, and to see the different ways that God provides for us. So I'm going to give us a challenge. I'm going to give you a 7-day challenge. You up for it? Some of you are like, I don't know what it is yet. Bring it on. Okay, the challenge is this week, you get 7 days. This week, I want you to write down 25 ways that God has provided for you during your life. 25. You can do it with your family, your spouse, with a friend, by yourself, with a brother, sister, however you do it, just sometime this week, write down 25 ways that God has taken care of you during your life. You know, like, if we take the time to look around a little bit, we have a lot to be thankful for. Yeah, we can focus on the bad, but we have an opportunity to focus on how God has taken care of us, how he is faithful to provide for us. Man, he does take care of us, and he provides again for our need. And our greatest need, our deepest need, is one that he exactly provides for perfectly, and that's himself. Look at verse 24 again. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. A portion is an inheritance. Okay, so Jeremiah is saying, or we can say, Thomas Chisholm could say, you know, I may not have a lot of money, I may not have a lot of stuff. I may not have a lot of popularity. I may not have a lot of status or this, but I have God, and God has me. That's enough. My deepest eternal spiritual need. God himself, the creator of the universe, the king of kings, the author of life, he's my portion. He's my inheritance. I have him. He has me. So then ultimately, what else do I really need? My eternal need is taken care of because of God. And so when I understand that God is my portion, that I have everything that I need in him, my perspective shifts, my contentment in life increases because I stop focusing so much on the circumstances. I start focusing on him and that he's my portion. Contentment and learning to recognize God's faithfulness, again, like I said, is about perspective. See, if we go around life thinking that we're super entitled to everything, then we're going to be complaining. Well, I don't have this. I don't have this. And God, you owe me blank, blank, and X, Y, and Z, whatever. If we do that, we're probably not going to be able to take time to notice all the ways that he's already been providing for us, and we're probably not going to be that thankful. We're probably going to be pretty grumpy. It's impossible to be grumpy and grateful at the same time. But if we understand that God doesn't actually owe us anything, and that every single breath that we take is a gift from him, then it's more likely we're going to notice his faithful provision in other ways. He's faithful to provide us with so many things, and so often we take them for granted. But here's the thing, he's merciful and he's patient even when we take them for granted. When we get our perspective off and our priorities get mixed up, he's there. He brings us back. You know, we're called not to focus on ourselves and our circumstances. We're actually called to focus on Him, to seek Him. Verse 25, the Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. Jesus said something very similar in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 31. I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm going to read a bunch of it. Verse 25, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Verse 27, he says, and which of you by being anxious can add even a single hour to his span of life? And verse 31 says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So then what are we supposed to do? Don't focus on all this. Don't focus on all that. This is what we're supposed to focus on. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God is faithful to provide for people who are seeking after Him. He's already provided, like I said, our greatest need. He will take care of us as we focus on Him. And so in addition to God being faithful to pour out love and mercy and providing for us, God is also faithful to save us. He's faithful to save us. Verse 26 says, it is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good that you should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And in the song it says, one of the verses, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. God grants salvation to every single person who turns from their sin and puts their trust in Jesus Christ. That is a promise. He's faithful to do that. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And verse 13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a promise. That's a promise from a faithful, dependable God to save the people that trust in His Son. He will forgive you if you call out and put your faith in Jesus. And if you haven't done that today, you can. You can be forgiven. You can be saved. You can have eternal life. You can join God's family this very day. He's faithful to save. And for those who have already put their trust in Jesus, say, I am a Christian. I'm following Jesus. When you read verse 26 about waiting quietly for God's salvation, that's not a permission to just kind of sit on your hands and do nothing until Jesus comes back. Waiting quietly in Scripture actually kind of has this connotation of a prayerful expectation or waiting with anticipation. So it's not doing nothing, but it's committing yourself to pray and to actively wait, to pray for other people who maybe don't know Jesus, to pray for yourself, to pray for your church until Jesus comes back. Because we're still waiting for that full and final salvation, right? When He returns and delivers us from the power and the actual very presence of sin itself. That's going to be an amazing day. We're waiting for that. So how do we wait? We wait quietly, not just sitting in our rooms doing nothing. We're to be a praying people, expecting Jesus to come back. Do you expect Him? Are you anticipating Him to come back? When Thomas Chisholm wrote the lines, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside, again, he was not likely thinking about physical blessings, physical circumstances, because as we learned, he didn't really have a lot of money or good health. He was talking about the incredible spiritual blessings that believers have in Christ. And you might say, well, what are you talking about? Well, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we read that, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Don't have time to go over all of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, but I'm just going to list a few, okay? Some of the spiritual blessings that you have if you have faith in Jesus Christ, okay? So You have forgiveness from sins, past, present, future, and therefore you're free from condemnation. You've been made new by the Holy Spirit, born again, adopted into His family, given a new identity as a son or daughter of the King of Kings. You've been justified, declared righteous, made holy. You become now co-heirs with Jesus. Co-heirs with Jesus. He's the King of everything. Co-heirs. Think about that, okay? You're never alone, never going to be forsaken. You have a sure hope of eternal life. You have peace with God, and now you have the peace of God that passes understanding. And you have the promise that not only is God with you, but that God is working everything in your life to make you more like Jesus. Talk about some solid blessings that we have in Christ. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. All of these and more are promised to us by God, and He is faithful to keep the promise that He makes. That's the point. We're supposed to look at His track record and say, yeah, God is faithful. He's going to do what He said He's going to do. He's dependable. Lots of other people aren't, but He is. So, practically, we talked about the 25 challenge, 25 ways that God's provided for you, but what else can we do to increase our contentment, our gratefulness, to understand God's faithfulness? I got another suggestion. You don't have to do this, but it's just a suggestion. Get a blessing board or a blessing book. So it could be a little chalkboard, it could be a whiteboard, or a little journal or something, and literally write down on it ways that God has been faithful in your life. Maybe the journal is answers to prayer, things you've prayed for, things that you've had other people pray for, whatever it is. And you can see, well, there's answers to prayer. Look at the ways that God has taken care of us. So you can chronicle these moments so that when, not if, but when you're tempted to despair, when you're tempted to forget the faithfulness of God, when it's really hard, when it's really dark, when it's just a crazy struggle, you can look back and say, wait, look at how God came through then. Remember when He did this? Remember how He took care of that person? Remember how He took care of us? And you go, yeah. Yeah. He did. Man, He came through. Man, He's good. Man, He is faithful. We can trust Him. We will trust Him. I got to get myself a blessing board. You got to get yourself a blessing board or a blessing book. Chronicle His faithfulness. You know, Jeremiah, he faced difficult times. Thomas Chisholm, constant health struggles. Both of them looked beyond their circumstances, and they chose to focus on the faithfulness of God and trust Him. You and I are going to face our fair share of struggles and challenges. Some of us, you're sitting here like, I have already faced more than my fair share of struggles and challenges. Yeah, maybe. But when we do, when we face these things, let's remember to put our trust in the one who loves us, the one who provides for us, the one who saves us. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Let's pray together. Father God, we are so thankful for the ways that you show us your faithfulness. We sang earlier, never once have we ever walked alone. And that's true. You're there. You've always been there. And so we give you praise and thanks for your goodness, for your faithfulness, that you are steady, you're constant, you're sure. We're always looking for something, someone to be reliable. But you're there. You've always been there saying, I am reliable. I am faithful. Trust in me. And so I pray for every single person that's here, wherever they're at in their journey, that you would be speaking to them, that you would be drawing them to yourself, that they would have a greater trust in you, that they would see your faithfulness. Help us, Lord, to see your faithfulness, to treasure it, to chronicle it, so that whatever we face today, tomorrow, next week, next year, it doesn't totally defeat us. It doesn't totally catch us off guard. It doesn't lead us to a place of complete despair. We're able to look back and say, no, God is good. God loves us. God cares for us. God will provide for us. God will save us. He has saved us already, and He will save us fully and finally. Help us to remember how great your faithfulness truly is. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.